Blog Talk Radio.
Connection to San Francisco and to the Steve Nery case and to public corruption here in San Francisco and California. One of the jurors in the Steve Nery U.S. Navy sailor case, where the sailor, 18-year-old, was stalked, lured, raped, and railroaded by the corrupt politicians, judges, and lawyers who were involved in the opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, male prostitution and international sex trade, as well as HUD corruption. One of the jurors on the jury, presided over by Kevin Ryan, a Canadian immigrant who lied on his papers filed to become a San Francisco Superior Court judge, claimed that he lived all his life in San Francisco. But apparently his marriage certificate says he was born in Alberta, Canada. I guess you would call that geometric deception. Anyway, one of the jurors on that jury who convicted illegally U.S. Navy sailor of a second-degree murder, one of those jurors worked for the Army Corps of Engineers and was present at the World Trade Center after the destruction of those two buildings, the Twin Towers. It turns out that this character, this corrupt juror, owed thousands of dollars in back child support payments in Northern California County. I don't know if he's ever paid it, but it was brought up. Another connection to the 9/11 disaster was David Fowler. David Fowler was the editor of the book Denial of Disaster, which was a documentary expose of what really happened in the 1906 California San Francisco earthquake. David was also an expert on earthquakes, probably San Francisco, one of California's best-known lay experts. He consulted to FEMA and also prepared disaster plans that were used in such disasters as the 9/11 Twin Towers destruction. He died in September of 2011, although he didn't die because of the 9/11 disaster. He died of a strange disease. We're not sure yet. Haven't seen his death certificate. But anyway, he also consulted to the National Fire Academy in Virginia. So we'll bring up more on David Fowler because he's one of the most interesting forgotten people in the history of the city. He's also worked at many of the radio stations, worked with Jack Phillips. I met him at KALW, and he helped revitalize that station with bringing in such people as Edna Fisher, the grand lady of San Francisco media. And also, David also exposed corruption in the San Francisco school district and in federal poverty programs. In fact, got me known, got me involved, and also had met and was aware of Saul Alinsky's involvement in setting up these corrupt organizations here in California. Saul Alinsky, who was also connected to Barack Obama, apparently, and learned, I don't know if you ever met him. I met him, Saul Alinsky many years ago as part of a social science project at Wright College, and I only met him once. And, but Alinsky came out here in the 60s, set up something at 82 2nd Street. We'll document that on the web. And also, apparently enough money to die in a wealthy area of California, Carmel. So we'll get into that another day. Now, another thing that happened that's coming up is that a lot of people know that this international homicide that remains unsolved, Herb de la Plaza, he may be dead, but the investigation is still very much alive, and there's new investigators on the case, and some new things are coming up. It is believed that because, well, he had connections, French government sent over a magistrate. Delahue's father was in the French Navy. One of the media people that covered the case for French TV was the grandson of the Minister of Justice in the De Gaulle government. Also had a connection to the 2008 Democratic National Convention that was held in Denver, Colorado. And this guy apparently is the head of French TV here in America. Also, it is believed that Hughes was stalked that night, that he was drunk, and there were no drugs found in his system. But he looked like an easy mark, and apparently an ex-policeman is familiar with the case and is looking into it. Also, other people that I have talked to, since I was acquainted with Delahue, think that he was murdered by a person who figured he was an easy mark. Another thing that's coming up, another homicide, torture, sex, involving Charles Ng, N-G, who's sitting on death row in San Quentin prison, and it'll be another maybe 10, 15 years before the Ninth Federal Appellate Court hears his appeal. They're running very slow here on death penalty cases here in California. Excuse me. One of the people that Ng was associated with, a relative of his, is coming up. His name is coming up in a major delivery service robbery case involving a gun pulled on a person. And I understand the police are investigating this, and it'll break. Maybe there'll be indictments or arrests at any time. It's going to be a very big scandal, a very big robbery case, and the robber, a young kid, is still sitting in city prison, and you know, if he doesn't roll over, he's going to end up in being somebody's bed buddy if he's convicted and goes to the California Department of Corrections prison system. Today is also the birthday of Alexander Campbell, and he started the religion church called the Disciples of Christ. Now, most prominent member of the Disciples of Christ, even though his father was Roman Catholic, was Ronald Reagan, the late president. Another recent Disciples of Christ is the senior senator from Texas, Cornyn. Also today, another thing connected to religion was the Puritans under Oliver Cromwell. They were fighting the Irish, who were fighting for their independence. This is back in the 16th century, and the last battle was at Tarheja, and after the Puritans won the battle, they massacred everybody in the town. Horrible massacre, and people hate Cromwell to this day, and you can't blame them. Also today, in 1818, the inventor of the Gatling gun, Richard Gatling, was born. In 1880, great writer, sage of Baltimore, he was called, Herbert L. Mencken was born, and I think he wrote for the Baltimore Sun. I can't help that noise in the background. We're having, we might be having another disruption involving the transportation system by these radicals. So, some people think this is public terrorism, domestic terrorism, and people are getting to think that way because there's no excuse for this disruption, especially during rush hour, of the BART and the Muni for people to try to get home after a hard day's work and keeping the economy going by these terrorists who are from out of town and apparently don't have a job or don't want to work, but they want to stir up all kinds of you-know-what. Also today, in 1888, a very famous year for entertainers, for singers. It was a great year for Lottie Lehman. A lot of the great opera singers were born this year. And this was a popular singer, Maurice Chevalier, was born today. Maurice was gay. He was in the French Army in World War I. In World War II, he entertained, he apparently supported the Vichy government, which was pro-fascist, pro-Nazi, and he also sang for the prisoners, the French Army prisoners in German POW camps. France could have defeated the Germans, could have stopped the Nazis, but because of their incompetent generals, just rolled over, in effect, with Marshall, people like Marshal General Gamelin, and they didn't listen to De Gaulle. Okay, and so another birthday today, 1892, great publisher, published these, what they call coffee table books, Alfred Knopf, K-N-O-P, was born today. And then if you remember the Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West, Margaret Hamilton, she was born today in 1902. And then, see who else? Among the deaths today, if you remember some of the older films in the 30s and 40s, Louis Stone, Prisoner of Zenda, he was born today. One of the people, individuals who sparked independence in South Africa, Steve Biko, was murdered by the Afrikaner's police. He was thrown out of a window. They said he fell. And he helped inspire young South Africans of both races and mixed races to push for independence for South Africa and the end of white minority rule. If you remember Hopalong Cassidy, William, I forgot his last name, he was born, he died today. And then, let's see, who else? That's all I remember. And among the events today, we had in 490 B.C., where we get the origin of the term marathon. The Athenians defeated the second Persian invasion. These are the Iranians today. And that, and then they, somebody, one of the runners, ran back to the city to alert the populace that they had defeated the Persians. I think it was Darius. Also, we have, let's see, we already mentioned, and Henry Hudson, getting back to New York, in 1609, he discovered the Hudson River, and it's named after him. And then, of course, in 1694, the Drogheda, the massacre of the Irish at that fort. And then in 1776, Nathan Hale, the young, I guess he was, somebody was a civilian, he left New York to spy on the British. He was captured. And before he was executed, hung, he uttered these words, "I only have one life to give for my country." Still to this day, Americans do not understand the very necessary practice and public policy of spying, that this is a very dirty business, but it's necessary for survival, and every country does it because they need to survive, and they realize that unless they do spy, and even spy on their fellow allies, that they may not survive. So they call it the second oldest profession. Let's see, what else today? And then in 1918, we had famous American Expeditionary Force battle at San Michel. If it wasn't for the American Expeditionary Force, the British and the French would have probably been fought to a stalemate. It was a stalemate on the Western Front, as they called it, but they would have had to sue for peace with the Kaiser. And, of course, Europe's map may not have changed had that happened. And then also in this day, 1938, Hitler started the first of his outrageous demands. He demanded that the Czech, I guess you call it province of Sudetenland, South Germany, as they Sudeten means, that they be granted the people living near the Germans that began the right of self-determination, which meant that self-determination was to be determined by Adolf Hitler and his gang. 1953, Jacqueline Kennedy married John Kennedy, and I understand a book is just coming out that exposes some of the things in her background, how she felt about Charles de Gaulle, Eunice Kennedy, and Sergeant Shriver. And also, now her father was called Blackjack Bouvier, and if you look at pictures of him, he's very dark. He's a Maryland Catholic family, and it may not have been some African heritage along that line. Now, the Bouviers, back in the periods when we had slavery in this country, there was quite a bit of young whites visiting the female slave quarters after dark. And then also in this day, Nikita Khrushchev became the first secretary of the Communist Party. And I think this is the one, George Christopher, who was mayor of San Francisco and was also a diplomat for President Eisenhower, hosted Khrushchev when he was abused in Iowa and picketed and insults were hurled against him when he did his state visit to the United States. I think this, I may have mislabeled this, but this is, we think, what part of George Christopher's legacy, and he hosted and saved diplomatic relations between the United States and Russia during the end of the Eisenhower administration. So I'll play this now.
What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you for?
Well,
what?
I don't even give that thought. I'll be remembered for whatever, if I'm remembered at all.
You will be. We'll make sure of that.
I don't know if I'll be remembered, but I just feel that every mayor should care for everybody. I was raised south of Market. We lived in a house in the same building. There was a Negro family there. In those days, we called them Negroes. We didn't call them blacks or African-Americans. In one flat, there was a Negro family. The other two flats, there were two Chinese families. We were in another flat. It never occurred to us that we should treat one another differently. And I think it's necessary to bear in mind that anybody who is elected the mayor of the city has a solemn obligation to not to think about how he's going to be remembered, but what can he do for a better city. And one of the things I think you have to bear in mind is he should be the very epitome of complete, total, unequivocal integrity. And the reason I say that is because on two different occasions, I was bequeathed money. And the first time it was $20,000. I didn't even know the man. He passed away. He left the money in his will. They brought the check up to me. And I said, what is it for? He said, well, in his will, he says he likes the way you operate the city. He was a Slavonian. Never met the man. I inquired further. I said, what was his physical condition? Well, he was half blind, either completely blind or half blind. So I told him, I said, I'm not going to accept the money. Well, why not? The reason I'm not going to, and I knew. I thought I was laying the foundation for future mayors to also do likewise if necessary. I said, I'm not going to accept the money only because I'm not a relative of his. He doesn't know me. Never met the man. The only reason he is leaving me this money is because I am the mayor. So I'm a non-entity as far as he's concerned, except that he thinks I ran the city in a pretty good way. So here's what I want you to do. I said, I want you to give $5,000 to the Shriners for the kids out in 19th Avenue, $5,000 to the Catholic charities, $5,000 to the Jewish charities, and $5,000 to the Association for the Blind. Gave it all away, you see. That was the first time. The first time was $20,000. Now, that made an impression with the press, too, I'm sure, because the press had to say, well, this guy is not here for the money. This fellow's here to maybe do some good. Second time was a fellow who passed away, and the Wells Fargo Bank at 9th and Market called me and said, we are supposed to open this box after a certain time, period of time. You're supposed to open up a safe deposit box. And whatever is in there is yours, because that's the will. So I got Judge Vavouris to come with me. He was a judge then. No, he wasn't a judge. He was an attorney. But I forget now what he was. He was or was not, but anyway, he was a good friend. I trusted him. I said, you better come down with me because I don't know what this means. This is a new experience for me. We went down to the 9th and Market at the Wells Fargo Bank. I think it's still there. Opened the box, and it was $38,000 in cash there. All in cash. And the manager said, well, it's yours. You want to open an account here? And well, I had an account here, too. You want to put it in your account? And I said, no. I don't want to do that either. I said, I need a little time to think about it. And I came home. I told my wife about it. I said, you know, I don't think we ought to keep this money. I opened an account, but I call it the Christopher Trust for with this man's name, so I'd be alleviated from that responsibility. And I got my wife to bring out all the old Christmas cards, and I got my old Christmas cards out, and all the people that I knew, and I sent them all over the country. I sent about 80 or 90 letters throughout the country. And I didn't hear anything for about 2 months, but about 2 or 3 months later, I received a telephone call from a lady from Evanston, Illinois. She said, I'm Nick's half-sister. Well, that's interesting. Half-sister. So what's your name? And well, I got all the details. And Jim Purcell at that time was my attorney. I went to see him. I said, Jim, another problem here, $38,000 all in cash. And this fellow was a professional wrestler, you see, but not the top level fellows, one of these preliminary wrestlers. And every time he'd go to Watsonville or any small town, he'd get a fee of $500 or $600. He'd keep $100 for himself and then put the rest in the box. So as a result, he accumulated $38,000. And finally, one day I get this call from Evanston. This lady said she was a half-sister. And we bought her out. In the meantime, before she came out, Jim Purcell did a lot of investigating work to be sure that she really was. And we finally found out, determined, all through all the legal process, that she was a half-sister. We wrote letters and telegrams and all that sort of thing. And then brought her out and gave her the, after more interrogations, gave her the money. I gave her the entire $38,000. And on the way to the airport to send her back home, my wife and I took her down, and I said, tell me, what do you do? Oh, no, do you have a family? She says, I'm a widow, she said. And what kind of a family do you have? She says, I have two teenage daughters. One is 12 and one is 14 years of age. Oh, I said, that's nice. And what do you do? Do you work? She says, yes, I work in a hospital. And I said, what do you do there, if I may ask? Oh, she said, I'm ashamed to tell you. I said, well, I don't know why you should be ashamed if you're working. She says, I clean the bedpans. I say, well, you know, my heart bled and my wife's heart bled too. I said to myself, how much good would have it done me to keep the money, like the banker suggested? Here you bring this woman who never saw me before, haven't seen her since, but she sent me a Christmas card. And these are the things you ask, what should a mayor do? He should be compassionate with intelligence, not compassionate recklessly. Just with some intelligent viewpoint of what constitutes humanity. And if you do that, then you can leave office after 8 years like I did and have no regrets. And the only regret I have today is when somebody, for political purposes, as I mentioned before about that Mill case, they should never have done that to me. That's vicious politics, you see, because they say Christopher violated the Milk Law. I did violate the Milk Law. The law had been declared unconstitutional.
It wasn't quite what we had planned, but we'll get the Khrushchev interview another day. We have an interesting mayoral election here in San Francisco. It's probably what we'd call a Hawaiian election. Many of the candidates are of Asian heritage. Some are ABCs, American-born Chinese, as we say. And maybe one or two may be disqualified if this law is still in existence, where a public official who has handled federal funds in any way can't run for another office in which he handles federal funds again. There has to be a break period. I think it's 2 years. We'll check and verify that. George Christopher was talking about the Milk case. He founded Christopher Dairies, which was later acquired by, I think, Borden. And he took the money and invested it in the stock market initially. And when he discovered that after the 3 o'clock bell that closes the market in New York, that the big boys, as he said, goes behind the scenes and rigs the market, he took all his money out and invested it in bank buildings. And he said, the bankers have got to pay me. And George Christopher was a great mayor, and unfortunately won't see his like again. And he wouldn't have tolerated this public nudity and this sodomy in the streets that's going on here in San Francisco and other cities in California. Very decent man. I had the honor of knowing him, the pleasure, of 10 years. So we'll be back Wednesday, at 5 o'clock, and hopefully I'll have that interview. I know we have it. And we'll end with what politics is like and what should I probably. They're not playing poker tonight at the Tea Party debate of the presidential candidates, but there's still some of them are still playing politics.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen,
How about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the
governor. Well, there are some Democrats who are hoping there's some qualified or unqualified Republicans who are going to lose if they run for president. So we'll be back Wednesday at the same time, 5 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.